Lord's blessed me and sent me to churches, most of which have been about 30, 40, 60 at the most. And come home to my church family with a congregation like this, and it's quite intimidating. Let me just be quite honest this morning. But I can stand and do absolutely nothing of my own. But with the Holy Ghost as my helper, I'm going to preach what the Lord's laid upon my heart. So if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would open them to the Gospel of Luke in the 16th chapter. And I will be reading out of the Authorized King James Version of the Bible just for a footnote this morning, which I do believe with all my heart to be the inerrant, infallible, authorized translation of the precious and true Word of God. Luke 16, I'll begin reading in verse 19, and if and when you found your place, if you'd stand with me, if you're physically able, in reverence to the reading of God's holy Word. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Our Heavenly Father, I do come bowing my unworthy head this morning, realizing, Father, I can do nothing of my own. But God, with you all things are possible. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to stand and, Lord, just to share those things that you've burdened upon my heart. I pray a blessing upon the reading of your word. I pray, God, that if it be your tender and precious will this very morning, that you'd bind Satan and the demons of hell and just allow us a little space of grace that your precious Holy Spirit might accomplish that which is pleasing unto you. And we'll bow and give you praise, for we ask it all in the lovely name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. When Brother Darren asked me if I would preach in his stead 2 weeks ago, normally it takes a lot of studying and soul searching and seeking God's face and digging in His Word for me to find the message that He would have me to share. But almost immediately, He gave me the message. And after much prayer and studying, I'm certain this is the message that He would have me to share. Couple of thoughts I want to share with you this morning. The first one, I realize this is a very familiar piece of Scripture. But a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. And the first one being that both of these men died. And will you notice that in your Bible, these words are written in red, and that signifies it's not anybody talking. This is not just any man, but the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. And I've read a lot of commentaries and done a lot of studying. And I don't believe this to be a parable that Jesus spake. I believe this to be real people that Jesus used in trying to convey to us that hell is a real place today. Now, it ain't popular for the man of God to get up there behind the pulpit and preach about hell anymore. It just ain't popular. People wants to hear some feel-good message. Amen? But I want to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, just as eternal and real as heaven and all its glory is, there is a place of eternal torment called hell. The Bible says that in hell he lift up his eyes and being in torments. The Bible says being in torments, plural. Now, I didn't come in here this morning to preach on hell, but I am going to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I could tell you this morning that hell is a place where the flames quench not, where the worm dieth not, where there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's outer darkness. And if that wasn't bad enough, eternal separation from a holy and righteous God. If hell wasn't bad enough and all that, eternal separation from God. You just have to forgive me this morning. Very nervous. The Bible said, one drop. Look, one drop. It still ain't come off. One drop. But more than all those terrible things, here's what I believe. Now, this is just shame. But I'm going to preach to the very best of my ability and with the precious Holy Ghost as my helper this morning on hell is a real place. On Satan's real. He is your adversary and he is out to destroy you and he will blind you. But God had a plan. He made a way of escape so that none would have to perish and go to this awful place. In my mind, if for whatever reason you reject the Son of God, His atonement and His sacrifice, His shed blood on Calvary for your sins, and He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Amongst all them other things, I believe one of the torments of hell will be in your mind. Yes, I believe you'll have a mind. In your mind, over and over and over again, the message that the man of God preached, that the Holy Ghost brought and knocked on the door of your heart and said, hey, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's waiting right here with open arms. You don't have to go to hell. He wants to save you. Childlike faith's all it takes. I believe that'll play over and over and over in your mind. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth, what's real. Share with you a moment. Flip with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Your adversary. Brother Darren preached a wonderful message last Sunday evening on the flesh. And certainly the flesh is our adversary. Shane Gunner don't have to look no farther than the mirror every single morning to know I'm in a battle. But there is one. And I want to tell you about this one. I want this to help you. I want you to see this morning that there is one out there that will stop at no cost or no means to throw you off track or to doom your soul to hell. Isaiah 14 in verse 12. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Well, there's a lot of I's in that, isn't there? Verse 15 says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." These few verses, what I see is Satan, prideful, lifted up in pride, was his downfall. That was his first sin. That was Satan's sin. That was his downfall. That's why he was cast down to earth. Flip with me to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 28. I want to try to help you this morning. I want you to see some things about your adversary. Ezekiel chapter 28. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Listen, verse 14. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." I'm going to stop right there. Satan, the anointed cherub. I believe Satan was the most important, powerful angel that God created in heaven. Powerful, more even above Gabriel and Michael. I said, "Preacher, where are you getting that at?" I've studied it, youngins. I'm telling you. It said that he had even walked up and down the coals. I believe he guarded the very presence to God Almighty. And he got lifted up in pride. Satan is very intellectual. Don't think that he is not intellectual. He is very smart. God created him. My Bible said he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. Satan has one goal in his mind, and that's all he cares about. And that's dooming and taking as many with him to hell as he can. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're lost here this morning, Satan don't care that you come to church. He don't care that you're in church per se. What he does care about is that you don't make your way to an altar and bow to the Lordship of Christ and accept Him and leave different than you came. Now he does care about that. But he don't care if you're in church. He'll blind you. He'll use whatever tactic he can. Satan is your adversary. The Bible says in the book of Job that he is going to and fro. And it also says over there, I believe in 2 Peter, that your adversary, Satan, the old wicked one, that old serpent, Lucifer, that he's seeking as a roaring lion whom he may devour. You think about a roaring lion. He'll do whatever in his means, in his power, deceiving the elect. Anything in his power. I cannot get to stress that enough to you. To blind people to the truth. And I don't care if you're 7 or if you're 77. If it ain't real to you, I've heard it said. Heard a preacher, a great man of God, say this. If you're 90, if you sit here this morning, you look at me and you say, well, preacher, I'm 99% sure that I'm saved. I'm 99% sure. If you can reason that in your mind right now, chances are you're 100% lost. Because God will not save anybody 99% of the way. Amen. He saves them all the way. And He'll give you assurance and peace that passeth all understanding. He'll give you that assurance. But listen. So preacher, you've come in here, you preach an awful message, Steve. Telling them about hell, telling them about Satan and his demons. But listen, there is a way of escape. God, behind the scenes, had a plan. Glory to God, He had a plan that He was going to give of His only begotten Son. That we wouldn't have to die and go to this awful place called hell. That we might have eternal life and all the joys of heaven. Enjoy all the splendors. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and all his angels. God did not prepare hell for mankind. Amen. Can I submit you? He didn't. He's going to give us free choice. He ain't going to make us choose Him. He's not going to make you in just a few minutes. He's not going to make you. If the Holy Ghost has done spoke to you, He's not going to make you. He gives you free choice. Gives us free will. What an awesome God. But let me read something to you here. You don't have to turn here. Revelation 21 and verse 6 said, "And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Amen. Verse 8, listen. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But the fearful," the second word, "and unbelieving." Unbelieving. If you don't believe, you ain't going to get in this morning, y'all. You have to believe. Believe what, preacher? Believe that God loved you so much that He knew every single one of us that we're going to be right here in this church this very moment. And He knew that we were going to sin. There was nothing we could do to redeem ourselves. Nothing we could do for redemption. Nothing. You can't come to church enough. You can't pray enough. You can't give enough. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. So God, again, behind the scenes, had a plan. One stepped up. Said, "Father, I'll go. Amen. I'll go. I love them." So one named Jesus left heaven. Brother Ken give a PowerPoint in our Sunday school class of his daughter Laura when she went on a mission trip to Peru. Harriet just got devastated. Y'all pray for those people. And he was giving that. I was thinking what it would be like for me to leave the comforts of my home, which is very modest, but I'm very thankful for it, and my surroundings and my comfort zone, and just leave it all and go to Peru, especially now that that earthquake's come, where they live in tents and shacks. I'm talking poverty-stricken. That'd be awful. But Jesus left the splendors of heaven.
Yeah.
Come to earth. Born of a virgin in a lowly manger. Lived a sinless life. Was mocked, rejected, beaten, falsely accused, falsely tried, and went to a place called Calvary, where I believe he willingly laid his life down.
Amen.
Them two thieves that was with him, them malefactors, I believe they went fighting and screaming. I don't believe my Lord and Savior did. I believe he went and he laid his life down for us. Gave of his precious life's blood that it might cover our sins. And on the third day, there's an old stone rolled away. Nothing inside. You know why? Because he's alive. Because he give us victory. Victory through him, through his resurrection. And he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father right now. Do you realize he makes intercession for us? That's awesome. On my behalf, my little old behalf, and yours too, you're saved. But the story don't end there. There's going to be a day, y'all, when the very last name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that book's going to be shut forever. Finality. Forever. And if your name is not written in there, listen to me this morning. I'm trying to tell you in love that God won't send nobody to hell. And He don't want nobody to go to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. But if you ain't accepted Christ, if you've never felt the Holy Ghost get a hold of your heart and draw you to a place of repentance and called upon His name, I can't save you. Brother Darren can't save you. Listen to Ralph Sexton this morning. He can't save you. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. And He wants to. The Bible says that He had come to seek and save that which was lost. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 2:3. How can you neglect such an awesome plan of salvation? How can we? How can we? Pride. Said it a few minutes ago, Brother Dennis. Pride will keep you sitting right there in your seat. What's this person going to think? What's this one going to think? Listen, when all this thing is said and done, it's going to be you and God. I'm going to give account for Shane Gunner. You'll give account for yourself. We'll read one verse to you. I'm almost done. In the book of 2 Peter, don't you see this? 2 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 21. The Bible says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Do you realize this morning, the best of my inept ability to try to share just a simple plan of salvation to you, it would have been better that you not even been here today if you're lost. It would have been better that you not even been here today than for you to walk out of this place across the threshold of those doors not knowing Jesus is your Savior. It would have been better. That's hard preaching. Don't give much of an amen on that. I give it to you what God gives to me. One last little story, and I'm going to close, and I know you'll be glad. I heard a story. I believe it was in the 20s. And there was a World Series game. And it was the bottom of the ninth inning. And there was two outs. And the batter came up. And the pitch was delivered. And the batter swung. And the crowd goes wild. As we do in sport events. But we better not praise God in the house of the Lord. That just come out. I won't apologize for it. The ball goes soaring out and the outfielder goes running. It's going to be close. Fans are screaming. It's going to be a home run. The very last second, the ball careens off the back wall. Outfielder scoops it up, throws with everything he's got towards home plate. Base runner's round in third. Hard as he can get it. It's going to be close. Here it comes. He catches it. Looks like the batter is safe. His foot, he's ahead by about this far. He tags him. Dust flies up. The crowd goes absolutely wild. Brother Paul, they're going, wow! They just know he's safe. He's won the game. Amen? The dust settles. The umpire comes up and says, "You're out!" And the crowd's bewildered. And they can't understand. They've seen with their own eyes that his foot touched before he was tagged. And at that very moment, the umpire points towards first base. He said he didn't touch first. He missed first. Can I submit to you this morning that first base, spiritually speaking, is when you bow humbly and ask the Lord Jesus to save you? Amen. Second, third, and home ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter unless you've touched first. I pray that every person in here today is saved. That's my earnest prayer. And Christians know this, that Satan is out to destroy you. And no, he can't touch your soul. But remember this, greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. See, if you're saved, you've got that Holy Ghost living inside. You've got something to draw off of to give you inner strength. But I beg you this morning, if you search your heart, if God through His Holy Spirit has spoke to you in any way, if there's any doubt, I'm going to give an invitation. Would you come, Sister Pam? I'm going to ask Sister Pam to come play. I asked her before church to come play a song. Just as I am. That's all he wants. It don't matter how you're dressed. It don't matter what you've done. All you have to do is come just as you are. That's the way he wants. Broken. He'll put the pieces back together. Everybody stand, bow your head. Christians, pray. If God has spoken to your heart today, and there is just a fraction of any doubt, would you come? You may be here and be 7 years old today. You may be 77. You know, y'all, it's easy to make a profession. Anybody can go out there and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. But when you search your heart and mind, if you left out into eternity, oh, there's been some tragic events the last couple of weeks in Mitchell County. A bicycle wreck, a motorcycle. Somebody come up from fishing, dear young man, and got hit by a vehicle. We are not afforded another opportunity. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't you leave this place today if you ain't saved. Christians, if the Lord's brought somebody to your mind, you know that I ain't saved, can I bid you to come down here and pray for them? Maybe you're just a church member that's got a burden for Mitchell, Yankee, and Avery counties, that we'd see people saved, that we'd see revival break out once again. God's able. God loves us. God loves us. Anybody else? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come bow before you. I thank you so much. Thank you for loving somebody as unlovable as I. God, I pray that there's one person, boy, girl, man, woman, regardless of age, that your Holy Spirit has spoke to, that Father, they'd not leave the grounds of your property today without finding somebody, finding Jesus. He's the only one that matters. And I pray, God, for these that are in this altar. And Lord, I bow before you because I've got loved ones, God, that I don't know. Lord, I don't know if we're saved. And I pray, God, by your mercy and grace, that you'd extend to them another opportunity before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we pray for this church. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you, Father, that you just helped me to stand. What an awesome God I serve. And you're so worthy to be praised. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, thanking you for Jesus, for his precious life's blood that he shed on Calvary, that all might have eternal life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we just ask you to go with us now. You'd have the preeminence in all our lives. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.